Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Lorraine, where on earth are you? That's a different background on the Zoom that I'm seeing.
Yes, it's not curated and elegant and stylish at all. I'm in my 13-year-old son's bedroom. It's a bit whiffy. I notice some of the mugs I've been looking for over there on the floor.
It's quite dark in there, Lorraine.
Yes, it is. And I feel like I might need a tetanus injection afterwards, quite frankly.
Welcome to Postcards from Midlife. I'm Trish Halpin.
And I'm Lorraine Candy. And we're on a mission to tackle all the big and small issues that affect women at this stage of our life. From insomnia to mind and body wellness, HRT to sex drive, careers and relationships. And as always, the challenges and joys of parenting teens.
So today we're going to be taking a good look in the mirror and asking ourselves how we really, honestly, truly feel about the aging process. And we're going to be asking health and beauty coach Karen Cummings Palmer on how to keep it all looking as good as is humanly possible. And she should know because she is fabulous.
We're also trying and testing a wardrobe makeover gadgety thingy-me-bob. I think that's you, Trish, isn't it?
Yes.
And the best natural deodorants.
So we thought we'd kick off this episode by having a little mini book club, because we like to chat about the books that we're reading, don't we? So what's on your list, Lorraine? What have you loved?
Well, I've got quite a good mix here because I just love books. It's been lovely as they've got a little bit older, the teenagers, because I've had a bit more time to read books. So I have dipped back into the Philippa Perry book, How to Stay Sane.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think
she's one of your favourites, isn't she?
She's a favourite, but How to Stay Sane, it really helps you begin again, think about resets and things like that. I've also got, because I have worked in fashion for 4,010 years, Andre Leon Talley's The Chiffon Trenches.
Yes.
Which I just cannot wait for.
A lot of juicy things happening in that book, I should think.
I do think we need to read Why I'm Not Talking to White People About Race. I think everyone needs to read that, the Renee Edo Lodge book. Have you read Ariel Levy's The Rules Do Not Apply?
I have not, but I do know her as a writer because we used to commission her a lot on the magazines I used to work on. But she's an amazing writer. Shall I tell you what I've been reading? Shall I tell you what I absolutely loved, which I've just read, is Hamnet by Maggie O'Farrell. The title, Hamnet, it refers to Shakespeare's son who died, he had twins like me, girl boy twins. And the poor old Hamnet died of bubonic plague, aged 11 years old. And this is like a fictional account. And it's not about Hamnet himself, it's about the mother. So I suppose essentially Shakespeare's wife, but Farrell calls her Agnes, rather than, I suppose, Anne Hathaway. And it's more about the everyday domestic life of the family living in Stratford-upon-Avon. And she's just this remarkable character. She's a herbalist, she flies a hawk, and has this really sort of powerful, almost supernatural intuition, which I just, it's such a good book.
It's moved you, hasn't it?
It's moved me. And I also just read, again, I think it's from last year, but I've only just got round to it, An American Marriage by Teyari. Oh, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Teyari Jones. It won the Women's Prize for Fiction last year, and it's this remarkable story about this terrible miscarriage of justice that happens to a newlywed couple, which then really tests their relationship and can it survive his incarceration. So it's like, will they be able to have children because they're going to miss the childbearing years because he's in prison? And it's written from both points of view, but I thought the strongest story was actually the husband Roy, because he ends up in prison because he happens to be a black man who's unlucky enough to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And so it's a very interesting look at sort of American society and marriage and relationships.
It's had great reviews, that book.
Yeah, really good.
Marion Keyes, our lovely Marion, grown-ups have got
friend.
To take.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't read the Curtis Sittenfeld Rodham book, which is the fictional account of the Hillary Clinton stories.
So that's some of the books that we've been really enjoying over the summer. But there are some really great releases coming up. What are you looking forward to, Lorraine?
Well, there are a few that are in the midlife area. I'm looking forward to The New Hot by Meg Matthews, who is on series one. I've written a little bit for that as well. So that's full of advice and women's stories. Between the Covers by Jilly Cooper.
Oh, Jilly, she's back.
Obviously, I should be reading that in front of everyone on the tube. I'm looking forward to Elizabeth Day's new book, Failosophy, because I just think she, talking about women and failing and what we've learned from it, she's really nailed that, Elizabeth Day, and she's got such a lovely, warm tone around her. Claudia Winkleman, who I know, who's lovely, has got a book coming out called Quite in October. And then India Knight's got a book out called Darling. I love a bit of India. And Dolly Alderton has her first novel, Ghosts, which is coming out in October, which I've had a preview of, which is really great. Trish, what's coming up for you?
Well, I've got two that are absolutely on my must-read list. The first is the new one by Eleanor Ferrante. It's called The Lying Life of Adults. And I'm sure many people will have read her fantastic quartet of books set in Naples about two girls growing up during the war and or just after the war.
I really struggled with that, you know.
Oh, did you? Oh, do you know what? Maybe a bit Marmite-y. I absolutely loved them. Well, it might be an easier one. I don't know. It sort of returns to Naples, and again, it's about a young girl who, get this, at the age of 12, she overhears her father saying that she's ugly. And it's then how this her life unfolds and how the impact that has on her life and the direction she takes in life, which from one awful moment, which I think is quite
fascinating. I had a friend whose father, she's in her 50s now, once said to her, a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips, when she was about 14. And it's completely defined her whole attitude.
Oh, my goodness.
Faultless. I mean, I know we don't mean to say these things, but we should really think about it, shouldn't we? Yeah, saying it out loud.
And then finally, really looking forward to a follow-up book by a nurse, actually, called Christy Watson, who wrote the most beautiful book called The Language of Kindness about 2 years ago about her experience of nursing, which I think has to be one of the best medical memoirs you can read. And it's just so beautifully written and observed, and it just completely restores your faith in human nature. And she's got a new one out called The Courage to Care, which is a follow-up. And I've read an extract, and it's just as compelling and beautifully written. So that's one to watch out for.
It's not
well.
Medical, is it? It's about her miscarriage as well, I think, isn't it?
And
about
I think it's about caring.
Loss and it's love about and caring.
Yeah, about different types of caring and caring. I mean, obviously the nursing profession, and actually she went back. She left nursing to become a writer full time, and she actually went back during COVID, which I think was really interesting because she's a very caring person.
Some extraordinary women. Well, that's great. That's a good roundup of books. Right, little Trish, before we get to our guest today, we've had some really lovely comments on our Facebook group, Postcards from Midlife, and actually on our Instagram as well. So do have a look, do join. There's been some really nice things. I think we're helping people, and that's the whole point of the podcast and the group.
And they're helping us. I'm loving reading all the comments and interaction and posts on the Facebook group. And it's just nice to hear from women going through the same thing. So, Don't feel mad. Like lovely lady called Anna, who's sort of posted that she's knackered. She's 46, works full time. She says, I feed dogs, clear up sick, make lunches, find calculators, book dental appointments, stop on my way home to pick up meds, email school, help with art projects, feed cats, make dinner, and wash dishes. And this is why we need HRT and Botox. I think, Anna, we are all agreeing with you on that one.
It's like being two people in one day, being a midlife woman, isn't it? Doing everything for everyone else as well.
Definitely.
And then we had a really nice comment from a woman called Patricia. She said, it's great to see more awareness of the menopause, and with it being added to school curriculum from September. It's a conversation I'm having with my partner's 13-year-old son as we navigate my perimenopause, because we're all in this together. That's the Make Menopause Matter campaign that's been really working for the last couple of years to make sure that it's talked about on the school curriculum in the same way all other sex and female education is talked about, because it's another stage of a woman's life.
Yeah.
And then we had one from Jackie as well, didn't you? Yeah. What did she say, Trish?
Well, she's talking about HRT, which is obviously a common thread. And she was she really enjoyed our episode with Anna Richardson talking about how HRT didn't instantly work. And Jackie says, it made me feel like I'm not the only one. I started on it 6 months ago and I'm still having problems with it. Now they are talking about the Mirena coil. Anyone got any thoughts or experiences about this option? So that's the kind of thing people are asking and sharing on the Facebook group. And I think Jackie got lots of support and answers on that.
Yes, wherever we can, we pop in a link if we think it's helpful, or we mention a book or an expert or something that could point you. I mean, we're not medical experts, are we, Trish?
Definitely not. No.
It's not in our journalistic glossy magazine training, but we do know a lot of experts and we've met lots of people who could be helpful. So if you dip in, we will be able to point you in the right direction in between doing all those other things that Anna mentioned in her comment.
Now it's time to welcome this week's special guest, Karen Cummings Palmer. Karen is a health and nutrition coach specializing in beauty from the inside out. She works with private and corporate clients all over the world and has helped develop and launch several health and beauty brands.
Karen, welcome to Postcards from Midlife. I think a good way of starting would be for you to kind of tell our listeners what you do, what your speciality is, and where it kind of fits with that midlife woman.
So, integrative health and nutrition. So I look at the health from a really holistic perspective, and I specialize in age management, partly because I had the pleasure and the challenge of turning 40 while I was living and working in Los Angeles. And of course, I was already so late to the kind of, you know, age management invasive game. And I just decided that I was vain, although I wasn't neurotic, and I really wanted to manage my own aging process. So I just decided to really drill down on that.
And how do women feel about aging when they talk to you? Because our sense is that it's not really about trying to look younger all the time. It's just trying to look better.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I hear all kinds of crazy stuff that makes me, you know, really sad. Like, you know, I feel invisible. Of course, a lot of women, you know, cry when they see a new wrinkle. But actually, for most women, what it really is, I think it's the loss. It's the grieving of their former selves. So what I really try and help women and men as well, but mostly women do, is manage the process. So my aim is somebody could not see you for 20 years and they should still recognize you. You should just look like an older version of your former self. And if you do some stuff, do quite a lot of stuff, frankly, as you get older every day, then I really think that, you know, that women can achieve that. Youth is currency. Of course it is. You know, that gorgeous plumpness that your kids have, you know, your girls have. Of course it is currency. But you know what? So is age. So is the grace and the wisdom and the humility that can only come with age. And I think that's something that we should embrace and nurture and celebrate.
How has your own midlife experience been? You've obviously spent a lot of time thinking and
She's
so glamorous around, as you say, age management. How has the experience of moving between different decades been for you?
I guess there were sort of two pivotal points. When I was about to turn 40, I was like, okay, I'm just going to take control of this process. And of course, with the work that I do, you know, I've got to walk it, right? You know, I've got to. So, to be honest, that has been hugely helpful. And then I did it again very recently as I was approaching 50. But because I had worked on it from in that decade, which I think is game changing, like, you know, that's when you really have to take control. Because I worked in it, I actually, I felt really good about the process. It's glowing as we grow, right? So the process for me has been mostly positive. But of course, there are certain things that, you know, like peeing more often. that is the issue.
So I come to you, say, as a woman at 40, and I say, right, I want to get a grip on this. Mm-hmm. I've clearly got to make some changes. Where do you begin? Is it the kind of, oh, well, you should be drinking 5 glasses of water a day and getting 55 hours of sleep and covering your face in serums? How do you start to unpick the changes and what are the changes to make?
So first of all, I really, you know, I say I'm not any more clever than anyone else. The reason I get results is because I work within the context of people's lives. So I know you have teenage kids, for example. I'm not going to give you the same information as a single person that's living on their own and has total control over, you know, most of the hours of their day.
Yeah.
So it's really understanding how you live. And then what I do is I try and add in the good before taking away the bad, because it is really difficult. Somebody's been drinking Coca-Cola and eating Crystal their lives. It's really difficult to say, you know, when you don't do it anymore. But what's much easier to do is, can you add some omegas to that? Can you add some water? Can you add some greens? Can you add some antioxidant-rich berries? It's a really layered approach. So, you know, if you want to do it naturally, if you don't want to do it invasively, you got to do a lot. Like, you know, I'm like the highest maintenance, low maintenance person I know. So I don't do anything that is invasive, but I do a lot. So it's movement. It's what you put topically on your skin. It's how you work your skin. It's, of course, what you eat. It's your supplementation. It's how you sleep, how long you sleep, and it's how you think.
What's your morning routine when you get up? What do you, because your skin is very glowing.
Thank you.
What do you do there? Tell me.
A lot. I get up in the morning, I do a stretch. That's the very first thing I do.
Like a cat.
Like a cat. Open up the heart, bend down, have your head hanging heavy, sending all that blood to your head and your hair. So that's good for a start. Stretches out your heart muscles, often you've been scrunched up at night. And then what I do is spit out into a loo or a sink. So spit out. Because if the detoxification process that's happening overnight, which is why we're all a bit, you know, it's not very pleasant, right? So get it out rather than swallowing it in from a sort of immunity.
That's a good point. That's a good one.
Get it out. And then I do a scrape, a tongue scrape.
Tongue scrape, copper, yes.
Copper tongue scraper. And when you start doing it, you'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe I haven't been doing it all these years. How revolting is that? So you kind of scrape out and it becomes, it kind of feels good, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it gets all that horrible stuff out. And then I drink water. Then you want to rehydrate.
But what about skincare products?
Skincare products are a little bit like food. So if you think about your food over the course of the week, right, you want your, you don't think about it necessarily daily, but think about it weekly. So you want to have spinach and then kale and then broccoli and then asparagus when it's in season. And you just want to mix it up, right, and have loads of different colours. The same with your skincare, but it only works when you've got a little bit of skincare education.
And also you don't change it, do you? You get to midlife and you're still using the stuff that you might have used at 30, which you must go through women's bags and boxes and think, where's all this from?
I do. So, you know, people are using the same thing and I get it. It's because if you don't, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, it's much better to stick to the same thing every day. But I just think, well, you know, you want different things. So, you know, there's this whole debate about oils and not oils, right? Some people are like, oils are amazing, they're the best thing ever. And some people are like, they're the skincare devil. The truth is, like, they're both kind of right. So oils are amazing. They are a wonderful vehicle to get nutrients into your skin, but they're also not necessarily, you know, they're not giving you stuff that hyaluronic acid can give you, that retinol is giving you, so you want to mix it up. So in the morning, I like a cleanse. I don't necessarily cleanse every single morning. If I haven't been, you know, out much the day before and I didn't wear a scrap of makeup and I've had a good clean in the night, then I might just do a quick wipe or a quick splash. Otherwise I'll do a cleanse, and I do like a toner, and then I will put an oil on and I will really massage it into my skin, and then I put, you know, I'm good to go, or I'll put makeup on top of that. At the night I'm thinking, right, that's when I want my retinols, and most women over 40, a retinol, which is a kind of a bit of, it does a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
good idea for a lot of women. A vitamin C, especially if you have, you know, pigmentation issues, you might use a vitamin C. You might use like a, you know, a firming kind of collagen based serum. And then over the top of that, I always like a hyaluronic acid. So the hyaluronic acid is giving you, it's getting all that moisture from the air, and it's helping retain moisture in your skin, and it makes everything plump and dewy and gorgeous.
And this routine, Karen, would that be appropriate for all different skin types? So Black, Latin, Asian, white skin types?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So of course you've got more, you know, you've got slightly different concerns, and that's where you're going to like spend your cash. Mm-hmm. So the things that, you know, like the serum, and that's what penetrates the layers of the skin. So of course, if you are darker skin type, you're probably going to be slightly less concerned about lines, and maybe more concerned about pigmentation. So I might spend a little bit more on vitamin C. That might be more of an issue than it might be for you, for example. But I still want a bit of everything. That's why I like the retinol's great, because it's a little bit of a catch-all. So it's really, it's not about, you know, we've all got the same stuff coming at us. It's like SPF. People are like, oh, that's good, I don't use an SPF. We all need an SPF.
Yeah, that's the big thing, isn't it?
We all need the SPF because it's the sunspots, blemishes, wrinkles. But the big one, as far as I'm concerned, the big one is the breakdown of elastin and collagen, because that's scaffolding that keeps it up. So, you know, you see like young girls, even like in their late 20s and early 30s with crow's feet around their eyes.
Yeah.
They don't look old. They still look like they're in their late
20s. Because the rest of it's all puffy and lovely.
It's exactly. So it's the sagginess that's really the enemy, which is why we all need sunscreen. But yeah, you might want to focus a little bit on slightly different areas.
Do you think there's a kind of judgment of women at this age, that when we start to focus a little bit more on what we look like, because we do, I'm much more focused now than I ever was. I was incredibly low maintenance up until now, that we're somehow being shallow. Do you feel that that judgment still exists, and that the beauty industry maybe capitalizes on that sometimes? Or what are your thoughts around that?
I do think it capitalizes on it. Absolutely. I do think it exists. I think the beauty industry capitalizes on it, but I think it's getting a lot better. I think that you've got brands now that are, you know, that are reasonably accessible in terms of price point, that are quite a lot of expert-led, doctor-led skincare brands. I always say to people that, first of all, I think a bit of vanity is a healthy thing.
Yeah.
And I absolutely think it is not superficial. I mean, this is the stuff that, if you're a really spiritual, conscious person, right, this is what's housing your soul. This is what's housing your soul.
It's okay to care about it.
So it is absolutely okay to care about it. And the other thing is that if you care about it, if you take care of it, and it's, for me, it's 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, it means you can kind of forget about it for the rest of the day. You do your bit in the morning, you do your bit in the evening. That means you don't have to freak out about it when you're 60, you know. You don't have to stress all the time. You don't have to be, frankly, you know, you don't have to snap at your husband or your partner or friends because you feel so bad about yourself. It's empowering yourself to be your best self.
So talk to me about business as well, because a lot of women at this age start again. They have a kind of bit of a reset and they go in a different direction, or they make their side hustle the thing that they really want to do. So you set up 79 Lux, didn't you? Tell us about that.
So many women now have, you know, they're like, their bodies are in pretty good shape, but they haven't paid any attention to the skin. So they're like, I can't wear a strap. Not being able to wear a strap that's dress when you're 45. I mean, that is a crying shame. I also had eczema. I was born with really bad skin. And I still have eczema. I still get the occasional flare-up, but it's 90% better 90% of the time. So I'd kind of been on my own skincare discovery journey personally, as well as professionally, kind of since I was 8 years old, frankly. So I wanted it to be amazing in terms of efficacy. I wanted it to be natural. Actually, nothing's 100% natural, because once it's on the shelf, it has to have preservative in.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be almost entirely natural, very organic, but I also wanted it to be, and really luxurious in feel and look, and I wanted it to be made in the UK, and I literally was searching for that product, couldn't find it, so I made it myself.
And you launched that as a business. It's a body oil, isn't it, that you launched as a business?
Two products, third about to launch, actually. So one is a body balm, the first one was balm, and that was, you know, it was for me and my clients. So launched that, and people loved it, which was wonderful. And then we developed an oil, and the oil, which is actually what I have on my face, you can use it head to toe. And it's like, if we can use one product that we can use everywhere, it also helps boost your immunity, relieves tension, you know, then why not do that? So it's really about solution specific, game changing products. We'll only develop things if I just feel like we can do better. There's a bit of a gap in the market.
Now, you've slightly changing tack a bit. You've spent a lot of time in LA, which must as we all know, is probably the sort of capital city of wellness and health. But on the sort of flip side of that, there's, you know, with Hollywood, the pressure on women to be looking young. I'm sure there's a huge the kind of plastic surgery of the world as well, capital of the world as well. What kind of, what stories have you got from there? What's kind of surprised you or amazed you about what you've experienced in LA?
I was never, ever, ever, and I'm not just being, you know, trying to be modest. I was never, ever, ever the best looking woman in the room, ever. Right? You're surrounded by stunning women. Mm-hmm. So actually what it does is it helps you get over your own neurosis because you can't compete on that level ever. Working out, I mean, I like to call it movement rather than exercise and do it every single day.
I like that movement, not exercise. Mm. You say exercise, I get a bit anxious.
Yeah, right? you should not need a shower after you do what you do. I mean, you should not need the shower. That is the key. I mean, listen, I'm not saying don't have the odd game tennis or run occasionally if you do. But what you do every day should kind of make you glow. Because when you're really sweating and pounding away, you're raising your cortisol level anyway, the stress hormone that hangs onto fat.
Yes.
So it can be counterproductive. But the wonderful thing about Los Angeles is people just moved every day. So friends will call me up and just say, what have you done today? Do you fancy a hike? Do you fancy a walk on the beach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a very, very
movement
accessible.
Thing is really interesting, isn't it? Because like you do this walking thing, don't you, Trish, as well?
Yeah.
But just, I think that's one of the things when you're feeling really low and you've had no sleep and you're perimenopausal and the hormones are making you depressed, that going for a walk is one of the things that everyone recommends, isn't it? And it's, you don't feel like it's exercise though, do you? It's a very good way to start getting fitter.
Absolutely. Because if it's not attainable, it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable, it's not going to work. Yeah, just do something.
Thank you so much for coming and talking to us. It's been incredibly helpful. I think people will be able to pull bits out of that. So thank you, Karen, for that. It's very helpful.
Thank you, Lorraine. Thank you, Trisha.
Thank
so
you.
Great to see you. Nice to speak to you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Right, so we have come to the time we've all just been desperately waiting for in the year when our kids are finally able to go back to school. And I am feeling so relieved and so pleased for them, Lorraine. How are you feeling about it?
I'm feeling it's the best thing that could possibly happen to them. Communication with their peers, being with their friends, seeing their teachers, having other adults in their life. It's so important to them from a developmental point of view. So I am all for it. It is quite chaotic. There's a lot going on. How are you managing the twins?
Well, we've had a lot of stationery arriving in the house.
Stationery.
Only buy my daughter.
If in doubt, just buy loads of post-its.
Buy some post-it notes and like fluorescent pens and things. But do you know what? I'm like, just bring it on, buy it, whatever, because she is so excited and so enthusiastic. They both really, really are. She's expressing hers through volumes of stationery and he's expressing his by sort of combing his hair in different ways to see how he's going to look the most cool going to sixth form college. But yeah, what about your four? You've got four going on different journeys this year.
All four different journeys. So I have a 9-year-old going back where they're still working out the times and how that's going to work with her. She's a little nervous, actually. She really hasn't seen much of her friends. And obviously, she doesn't have this massive access to social media. So she's not encountering them every day like my teenagers are. And we've done a little bit of chatting with her on her feelings and what she thinks is going to happen and trying to relax around it. There's a really good family therapy theory about mirroring. So you don't want to try and solve their problems or solve their worries or say, oh, don't worry about this or don't worry about that. You just listen to it and say, so I understand. I said, this is what you're feeling. You kind of mirror it back. So we've been doing a bit of that with little Mabel, who's 9. My 13-year-old son goes into a new year, meets new friends. He has to wear no uniform this term, and we have to send him in a new set of clothes every single day that have been washed. That's the rules.
Oh, so they're worried about filthy blazers.
Yes.
Filthy boy blazers. Yeah. Okay. Yes. That's interesting. Haven't heard
interesting.
That one.
Yeah. Hard, because we've just had to work out how we're going to keep that volume of washing going, although apparently we're going to PE kit one day. Then my 16-year-old is going into the sixth form, so again, no uniform anymore. We've been trying to work that out, and I think she's a bit nervous about what will it be like without all the rules. She quite likes the rules and regulations.
Yeah.
And then my 18-year-old on September the 19th is off to university, so it's a massive amount of change.
From what I can see, everybody's approaching it differently. A lot of the schools are doing different things, don't they? And I suppose they have to, because they have to work with their buildings, they have to work with, you know, the resources that they've got. I mean, it can be anything from, you know, I've heard that children are going to be in the same room all day and they're going to have their lunches brought to their rooms, which I think that's going to be quite challenging for the teachers. So I do think we need to think about the teachers in all of this, don't we, as well as preparing our children and making them feel safe and secure and confident about going back.
There's a lot of headlines saying teachers feel they're not prepared, etc., etc. But actually, when you look behind the headlines at the surveys, and when you follow all the teachers as I do on social media, they are prepared, they are confident. The majority do feel they've got it right. But I think what they need is a bit of patience from parents. I've noticed on some of the WhatsApp groups I'm on, parents are very furious about smaller things like lunch and who will be wearing masks and who won't be. And there's a lot of them emailing teachers and asking, and actually maybe we should just give teachers a bit of grace. Maybe we should give them a month or so to work it out, because stuff is going to change.
And I think the other thing that I need to do, because mine are starting sixth form college and they're going to be doing 1 week in college and 1 week from home. So they'll be doing lessons on Zoom 1 week. And so I kind of feel like I really need to be on top of their timetables and really know what they're doing and where they're supposed to be, because it's going to be quite a big transition anyway for them into that A-level scenario. And again, mine are kind of anxious about not having done GCSE exams. They feel a bit like they're not properly prepared to go into A-levels because they didn't have to do that massive revision. They didn't have that sort of, the feelings and stress and everything that comes with sitting exams. So they feel like they've lost something there. Hopefully after a few months, they'll just get into the swing of it and realise it's fine and they won't be looking back at GCSE. But it is that sort of feeling that there's something lost, that there's something missing.
Yeah. You know what I really hope, and I might be saying this because I have no qualifications, but I really hope this massive emphasis on exams and grades and medals and winning, I really just really hope that pressure steps back a little bit for this generation, because there are so many other valuable things that you know, there's a much more creative part of their life, and we start to value the other stuff they can do and the kind of humans they're going to be. I just feel, I know it sounds a bit hippie, maybe a bit liberal, but I just think there's such an enormous emphasis in Europe with European working parents who are affluent on getting their kids to top schools, top universities, Russell Group, this, all of that has overwhelmed us a little bit this summer. And I think if we could just step back on that and look at the other values, the effort kids put in and the kind of people they are, the other things they bring to the table, that might be a better way for the next lot.
Well, you would hope that if anything was going to sort of prompt some change, a global pandemic would be it. But let's hope that,
crossed.
With all the backtracking we've had over the last 6 months from our great leaders, that remains to be seen.
Rightio. So next up on Postcards from Midlife, what have you been trying and testing this week?
Well, I've been having a bit of a wardrobe sort out. Do you know in those bags, you can get these bags that you attach the vacuum cleaner to and they suck out all the air, but you've got to make sure your jumpers are all nicely washed and clean.
You put annoying children in them.
You could too. You could. Dogs. That could be. Yeah, maybe. Cats too.
Cats.
But before I did it, I came across this device. It's called the Steamery Pilo Shaver, which is this sort of Swedish, they do this lovely laundry stuff, this Swedish company. It's very nice sort of looks good in your wardrobe device.
I'm lost in Trish world now of steamery pilo shavery.
Steamery pilo shaver. Anyway, it's this little handheld device that you whiz over your jumpers and it gets rid of all the bobbles. You know those annoying little bobbly bits on your jumpers?
Not that, like the little sticky roller things, because I like them.
No, not a sticky roller. That gets off the fluff, doesn't it? This actually shaves off the little bumps, and it's just brilliant. And I've also been using this little pilo shaver thing on my favourite Zara. Well, it's related. On my favourite Zara trousers, which guess who ruined them?
Oh, I know what she did. Yeah, Margot.
So she pulled some threads. I've just got these. They're just sort of little viscosy polyester. They're just so comfortable. Little drawstring Zara classic trousers. And they had all these annoying little pulls on the front of them, which I just thought, oh, that makes them look really cheap and horrible. So Margot obviously sat on my lap. I'm blaming her. I think she clawed them. And
evil feline.
I used the pilo shaver on her, and they are good as new, and I'm very happy wearing my comfortable slacks.
This is classic mother of a teenage children behaviour, isn't it? Because in your previous lifetime, when you were going, when the children were littler and everything was just constantly busy, you would not be debobbling jumpers.
Grief, no, definitely not. You'd be barely have time to go to the toilet, and God knows it'd be covered in food that you hadn't remembered to wash off before the summer, and all sorts.
Raisins. Yeah. I used to find raisins in everything.
Anyway,
now
what have you been trying, Lorraine?
So I was looking for some deodorant for my little one, who's 9 and a half and is going to be needing it soon. And I thought things have moved on since I was looking for deodorant for my girls. There must be plastic-free, more natural, less chemically. What can I buy? So I will test it myself. So I bought a crystal deodorant stick now. It's called Salt of the Earth. Now it's $4.99, which is really expensive, I think, for deodorant. Bear with me. So for a week I used it and I thought, well, this is rubbish. What's going on here? Poking this piece. It looks like a piece of glass, like a little tiny piece of glass. This is not working. It won't work. So I did what one would do in these situations, emergency situations, when you can't really work out the instructions. I went onto YouTube and there's a load of videos on how to apply. And what you've got to do is you've got to make it a little bit wet and you've got to properly rub it for about 40 seconds. So you can't it's not like normal deodorant.
Right.
So it, therefore, it lasts way, way longer than normal deodorant. So but maybe price per wear, it probably would work out the same as normal deodorant.
But it's completely... does it stop you whiffing? That's what we want to know.
Well, it did stops me whiffing, but I'm probably not in the most confident way possible. But it doesn't stop you sweating. So these deodorants don't stop you sweat perspiring.
Yeah, so you still get the old wet patches under the arms.
No, I don't really get them, Trish. That's just you.
It's just me.
In your Jane Fonda workout kit.
Oh, yeah. Dripping.
I think they would be really good for a little one, though.
I think you're right. Yeah, but do you think the little one will have the diligence to rub it there for 40 seconds?
No.
No.
She won't stand in the bathroom for 40 seconds. I'll have to say, Mabel, put your arms in the air and I'll have to do it. Yeah, I think it's worth checking it out, particularly for sort of teenage girls, because they might have the patience to do it and they are very aware of the sustainability footprint of all their beauty products. So it might be a good thing to do. You might be forking out nearly £5 at the beginning, but it's probably going to last a bit longer, quite a lot longer actually by the look of it. So that's what I've been trying testing this week, venturing out forth for you all.
Very good. Very good. And now it's time to step back in time for some nostalgia noodling. Lorraine, what decade are you heading to?
I've gone way back in time to the 70s, because I was in a shop the other day and I heard the theme tune to Tales of the Unexpected. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do. Sends a chill down my spine.
I got goosebumps in the shop. Yes. Goosebumps in the shop just remembering it, because I used to stay up late and watch it with my mum. And it was absolutely terrifying. Do you remember the one about the landlady? She was the landlady who was basically, every time someone checked in, she was murdering them and stuffing them. And so there were only three people in the room, and the man noticed that none of them moved, or the dog or the cat. It blew my mind.
Was it sort of like a lady's shape?
Yes, it was like flames coming up. Yeah, so that was a scary moment for me.
I feel
this
like
week.
You should, just because you've said the theme tune, you need to just give us a little rendition.
Da, 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 isn't it? Is that one?
It is.
Look brilliant. At our producer, excellent. Lee. She's just like, what the hell did they do to children in the 70s? My God.
Well, it's the first time you've sung on the podcast. I've done a few, so I feel like it's a moment to mark.
I will address all record deals to my agent as a result of that. What have you been going back in time with this week?
I've been stepping back to 1996. And I'll tell you why, because I feel there's a lot of little messages coming at me at the moment
not one of your spiritual astrology.
Well, a little bit, coincidences and just signs. I like looking out for signs. So I've been watching a few TV programmes, White Lines on Netflix, which is quite good. And that keeps flashing back to the rave era in Manchester and Ibiza in 1996. Little Fires Everywhere, which I'm pretty sure was 1996. And just heard on the radio the other day that it was the year that the Spice Girls had their first hit with Wannabe, Forgotten About That. And you can tell me whether you think this is spooky or not. Okay, so I was looking at some wedding photos, and in my wedding videos, I had Design for Life by the Manic Street Preachers on there. And I was looking at a wedding photo, and then that came on the radio.
You're joking.
No, you see, the cosmos, there are spooky things. That's going
what
on
you
everywhere.
Call a coincidence.
No, I'd like to read a bit more.
Big year. No pandemics, though, in 1996.
This is
the most significant thing, isn't it that we've lived through, really, probably. This is what our children will be talking about.
Yeah.
There, however they do a podcast telepathically.
With their nostalgia noodling.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Postcards from Midlife. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed it, please tell your friends and all the midlife women you know.
And we'd love you to share your midlife experiences with us on our Facebook group. And you can also contact us via the website or on social media. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.